Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
We are back here on the Windy City Podcast, presented by FanSided. You know my guy, Alex Shapiro, right there to my left, or my right on your screen. And of course, I am Kenneth Davis. We are here to talk everything Bears football. But of course, we're going to talk about the upcoming match against classic NFC rival, if you were around in the 80s, the Bears versus the San Francisco 49ers. Now, of course, this isn't Bill Walsh versus Mike Ditka and the fridge going a touchdown for payback. This is now 2025, where you have Kyle Shanahan versus rookie Ben Johnson. Both teams 11-4. The Bears are traveling to Santa Clara, California to take on a resurgent 49ers team who's gone through a myriad of injuries like the Bears and have still ended up 11-4. Their quarterback has been out. Mac Jones had been there, but they got Brock Purdy back, who's been dealing. Alex will fill you in on that a little bit later. And you got, you know, arguably the best running back. If not, he's the second. They kind of switch positions when you're talking about Christian McCaffrey, who has been doing his thing this year. Looking at it right now, over 1,000 yards and 9 TDs, and we all know what he can do in the passing game. Oh, I do. He has 149 yards. He has 9 TDs rushing and 7 receiving, to let you know how ridiculous. And remember, remember when in college was like, could he do it in the pros? Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I still have nightmares about Christian McCaffrey in college, too. That guy terrorized USC at Stanford.
I bet you do. I remember his dad as a Bronco. But yeah.
Yeah.
Ed McCaffrey. Yeah. So anyway, he gets the receiver from his pops. Too.
Now we got his younger brother, Luke.
I think McCaffrey's
Commanders, right?
Okay. Yeah.
For like 140-yard reception and a handful of.
Everybody can't be generational. Everyone can't be generational, Alex. There's only so much pixie dust to go through the family, because his mother is like a great athlete too, I believe, and like his grandfather or something. Like, the genes are genin' for young Christian McCaffrey, who isn't as young. Entering, I won't say the twilight of his career, but been healthier. We know, you know, sometimes he's going through the injuries coming over from the Carolina Panthers years back. Never got the chance when Cam Newton and him to be healthy at the same time to do anything like Carolina. Kind of similar to someone who didn't really get his just due in Carolina with the Bears with DJ Moore. All right, Alex, your thoughts with the Bears traveling, not to San Francisco, for those who don't know, to Santa Clara. Something similar to what the Bears may do in the future when people are traveling to Arlington instead of traveling to Chicago. So get ready for that, perhaps in the soon to distant future.
Yeah, what is that? South Bay? Santa Clara, South Bay? I think
you
it
went
is.
To college out there. I didn't go to college.
NorCal.
I know it's NorCal. I know it's no. Okay, the point being, you were in the state for years. Guess who wasn't?
South Bay. Me. South Bay. Yes, Santa Clara, South Bay, south of San Francisco, not actually San Francisco. This is a very exciting matchup that I feel has got lost in the shuffle with the Lions game coming up, divisional matchup after the Lions spanked the Bears in week 2, and the back-to-back, not back-to-back, but 2 out of 3 Packers games. I feel like the 2 out of 3 Packers games plus the Lions on the horizon, this game has flown under the radar, but this is a huge game for a couple of reasons. One, the Bears still have a shot to get the number one seed, right? And beating the Niners obviously will go a long way. Now they have to leapfrog. They need some help. They need the Seahawks to lose. Seahawks are a game ahead. But beating the Niners, you know, and the Niners have everything to play for as well, because there's that NFC West is even better than the NFC North. For as good as the NFC North is, the NFC West has been even better between the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Niners. So this is, I think, going to be a wonderful playoff measuring stick, because the Niners, 11 wins, are going to be a playoff team, right? They have everything to play for as well, just like the Bears. They have everything to play for. And this is a very well-rounded team, a very well-rounded team. The Bears got to go on the road. The 49ers right now are ninth in points scored and 12th in points allowed. So that's a pretty well-balanced team. And once again, it's a great test. Let's start right there with Christian McCaffrey. You mentioned Christian McCaffrey. It's another great test against a great running back. And the Bears have done, honestly, a bang-up job improving their run defense as the year has gone on. Grady Jarrett, you know, we finally saw him pop in last week. Had a great game. They have bottled up Saquon Barkley. They limited the damage from Derrick Henry and got destroyed by Snoop Huntley. They have, you know, earlier in the year, they did a really good job against Ashton Jeanty. They did a really good job against the Commanders, who had a really solid run game. So this is just another test. Okay, can you shut down another premier running back and put it in the quarterback's hands? But the quarterback of the Niners has also been good. But before we talk about Brock Purdy, I'll kick it back to you just to see if you have any thoughts about the Bears taking on Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I would expect for him to do damage to the Bears, who at times have been weak versus the run. And they've been bend don't break. But also you're talking about someone who can get into the passing game. And that, again, when you're talking about bend don't break, talking about someone who's not turnover prone with a Bears team that have been living defensively off of turnovers. So I also want to revisit this real quick. And I'll get back to my thoughts on the Christian McCaffrey. I don't think that the San Francisco game was overlooked for this aspect. San Francisco was a team that weeks ago, before we knew how good the Bears were versus the Eagles and then the Packer games, where we may have thought, okay, this is probably a loss because San Francisco, if they're healthy enough, are them when it comes to getting close to the playoffs, physicality, what they can do, right? I think a lot of people may have had this as an L 5 weeks ago, particularly when you're talking about that back end of the schedule and you're looking, as you mentioned, the division games. So you were looking at the division games and you were thinking, well, I may have to put an L for San Francisco, and how treacherous that could be, because you had a Vikings game, two Packers games, and you had the other Lions game at the very end of the season. And that could have led to a myriad of losses. So I think we were focusing on that aspect. But then I'll say this too. The Lions, who? Because they just lost to the Vikings. They just lost.
I know, exactly. Right. Yeah, right. The Lions right. are out.
Like, so it's like, I mean, now they could play spoiler. And again, you have the fact that it's Ben Johnson, their former offensive coordinator. So that may add some spice to playing spoiler. And I'm not saying it's impossible that the Lions could beat the Bears, but I'll be honest with you. If I'm the Lions, I wouldn't want to win another game just so it could help us get a better draft pick. You know what I'm saying? Because you're out. You already have a quarterback who's getting paid. I believe Aiden Hutchinson got paid. If not, he's on the way to getting paid. You know what I'm saying? You got Brett, Amon-Ra St. Brown. You got two running backs. I'm sure Gibbs has to be coming up like next year or so, after next season or something. And that also means Campbell's coming up because they got drafted the same season. You need cheap labor. You know what I'm saying? And if we're out, I'm sorry for people that would be like, I want to win every game. When my team is bad, I want high draft picks, all right? See you under center. All right, like if we're like,
My team, no, I want the highest pick. And now, of course, the Lions have like 8 victories. I believe the Lions have.
Yeah,
let me check. They have 8
victories. Lions and the Vikings both have 8 wins.
So right now, they're somewhere in the early teens. I'm trying to get my ass to 10. I mean, 11, you know what I'm saying? Because why? Yeah. Let's get another weapon because we still have all these assets that we can keep and we don't have to pay for another 4 years. So that'll be interesting to see if Dan Campbell, if the owner, if management and Dan Campbell, which way they go, will they rest their players or whatever? Also, just to avoid injury, I doubt they will. They perhaps will play spoiler, but still getting all the way back then to Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting because – I mean, in all fairness, they bottled up Saquon Barkley, but Saquon Barkley has been having a down year compared to what we saw last year with him rushing for over 2,000 yards.
And they're dealing with a different offensive line, very different offensive line in Philadelphia, which was the calling card.
Right. And Christian McCaffrey, both of these guys are versatile in the passing game and in the running game. But you can even say even more so with Christian McCaffrey because the teams use him in the passing game more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you – Saquon can catch, but they one of the main reasons that Kyle Shanahan wanted Christian McCaffrey is what he could do twofold, right? Like, oh, I can exploit so much with the fact that I can do so much with him in the passing game with using his father, Mike Shanahan's system, and what he has added to it. So I think that's going to be interesting because Brock Purdy is healthy. He's been dealing. The wide receivers, you mentioned Kittle. Did you say Kittle was out?
So the Bears Friday injury report is in. So why don't we just do this really briefly? Rumbadunze out with his foot injury.
Probably should be. Alex, you're in the playoffs now. You may as well sit him till he's right and use him if he's ready during the playoffs rather than rushing him because – you're in now. Now, of course, you want to see. I want to say this one. I want to say this one thing too.
Okay.
I wanted to say why this game is important because when you were talking, I was piggybacking off of some of the things you're saying. Yeah. This also is important because clearly you're going to probably end up if you go deep to the playoffs, you may face the 49ers, and you want this to be a home game here. You don't want to go to Santa Clara again.
No.
Right. So you want to win this game because then it gives you the tiebreaker and it gives you the one you get the victory.
Yeah, the head-to-head tiebreaker. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, here's the other thing. If you can lock up that one seed, that is enormous.
Crazy.
Because not only are you getting home field guaranteed throughout the playoffs, you get that extra bye. And the Bears had that early bye, and that early bye was so important. That early bye was so important to this team because it allowed them to self-scout, allowed them to get their run game on track, and allowed them to really fix a lot of the things that were plaguing them early on. But that was like ages ago. And these dudes are banged up. And that extra week for TJ Edwards, that extra week for Tremaine Edmonds, that extra week for Jalen Johnson, these guys who are playing but are for sure not 100%, guaranteed not 100%, that extra bye week is huge. And then here's the other thing. This is the NFL. It's a lot easier to win 2 games in a row than it is to win 3 games in a row. By knocking out that extra week, not only do you get that extra week of rest, but that's just 1 week you don't got to play. You can't get eliminated. Truly, like when you look at it, 2 game win streaks, that happens, you know. Teams win 2 games in a row all the time, but 3 games, that's when it's like, okay, we're feeling something here. That third game is tough. So to punch a ticket to the Super Bowl, it's obviously 1,000, like this is Captain Obvious stuff over here. But I mean, that one seed is huge. So you're absolutely right. You want to get that. You want to get that tiebreaker against the 49ers in case they are tied at the end of the year. So that playoff game is at home. But you want to keep your dreams alive for that one seed. It's massive, man. So things like that where it's like Rome must be hurt. Rome is hurt. It's not must be.
It's a foot.
Rome is hurt. Exactly.
It's a football player in a foot, but you're talking about a wide receiver where you're talking about sticking in routes and pushing. Like it's a foot, and it's been there lingering, and he re-aggravated it prior to the game. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's to the point where if we're being honest, and look, we're going to start talking reckless on this podcast sooner or later. I am. We're teetering because with what the Bears are doing, they're not they're not a favorite to win it all, but it wouldn't be shocking depending on how the chips fall. Like who knocks off who could really open the door to the Bears stealing one. And
that's why this one seed could be huge.
Right.
Because, I mean, let's talk reckless for a second.
Okay.
The Bears win. They beat the Niners. And right. the Seahawks lose.
They got to play the Panthers. Possible. Right. Think about it. The Panthers have been
fighting for their playoff lives.
Right. And then they face San Francisco after that. Right.
So the Bears could leapfrog. So now you're talking about, okay, who are the dominant teams in the NFC right now? The Rams have looked tough.
Yes.
But
Seattle.
No Devontae Adams.
I know. I was going to go there too.
Changes the game. The Seahawks have looked very, very good. But they've gone toe-to-toe with the Rams, and there have been some weaknesses. And Sam Darnold has been lights out at times. But
this is a team for Sam Darnold. Like the Bears are the team that's old Darnold will come out just because this year is their year. We'll see next year if this is more of an outlier. And they may not have as many turnovers because we've seen in 2018. Of course, year after year, you usually don't have it like that. But this would be, I could see a bad Sam Darnold game versus the Bears. And people be, because you know, people wait to be like, you know, the carriage reverted back to the pumpkin, all right, for Cinderella fames, right? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that being Sam Darnold, being like, what happened last year in Minnesota, and the reason that he's not a Viking outside of them
totally crumbled. Crumbled for the Vikings.
Exactly. So that's where I was like, the funny thing is this. I could see them. I think the team that, and you mentioned it already, the Rams, and I know Adams is out, but also the problem is by then, and it's a hammy, even if he doesn't go full go on it, but he can just use, you know, his timing to kind of be a diversion or distraction, but still be adequate out there. Mm-hmm. And what Puka's doing, but really it's how Matthew Stafford is crazy.
The Rams probably are still the favorites to come out of the NFC, but okay. So that's the NFC.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing in the AFC, the big bad boogeyman, the baby goat is also not around.
I know.
Where like, okay, the Broncos have a great defense.
Yeah.
But that Chiefs defense shut them down on Christmas, right? I mean, the Chiefs, who were 2-touchdown underdogs, that came down to the final drive. That came down to the final drive in Denver. And then, okay, the Patriots are real good, but Drake May versus Caleb Williams.
Interesting. Oh, but dude, to start off, also, again, let's not forget, you're talking about the 85 Bears versus the Patriots, and now you have the 2025 Bears versus the Patriots. All right. And that part now, and it's two quarterbacks drafted in the same class, right? Mm-hmm. So that the storyline from that and how that can, I mean, could you imagine how, you know, who I forget who has the Super Bowl this year, but the script is written, it writes itself out of all the story. They're going to talk to all the Bears, all 85 Bears. It's in the bay. They're going to talk to all the Bears, all the few Patriots that matter because they didn't. It's funny. I was looking at this on social media. I was talking about Irvin Fryer. And I remember him as the Dolphins wide receiver, but I didn't know. And, you know, usually players that play in the division may go on to David Montgomery to the Lions, you know, a situation like that. He was drafted by the Patriots, and it was talking about he was drafted. I think he was drafted number one, and I think he's the only wide receiver. I don't know if it was at the time because I know Keyshawn years later was drafted at number one to the Jets. But it goes on to talk about how his career went or whatever and how he scored the only touchdown that the Patriots scored in the 85 championship game. So again, that would be ironic. I'll tell you this, being that I can remember that, I would hate to lose to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but I'll say karma wise, man, the Bears really abused them in that Super Bowl back then. It was really abusive. Like sometimes it was bad.
That's about as bad a game as you'll see. But that's okay. So we are talking reckless, like grain of salt. We're being completely reckless with 2 weeks to go before the playoffs even begin in 2018. Everybody was ready for the Super Bowl, and then what happened? A double doink. So it can fall apart. It can fall apart in a moment. But the NFC, looks a little open, right? We didn't even go through the other teams. The Eagles, the Bears already dominated them. Now here's another, here's one more reason why this game is so important and why the Bears really, really, really want that one seed. Do you know what you don't want to do? Do you know what you don't want to do in the wild card round as a two seed? You don't want to host the Green Bay Packers.
You don't, but I won't
you
be afraid.
You don't want to host the Green Bay Packers, which is what we might be on. That could be the most likely outcome here.
I'll take that smoke. Like I like to go through. Like so, I one thing. Alex is a Sox fan. I'm a Sox fan, right? And the thing about 05 is we couldn't get the Yankees, but we got everybody else. And that made it sweeter because it was like, oh, man, that was the year. It was like, nah, Boston, we got you. Anaheim, we got you. We got the Houston Astros with Roger Clemens and back. Mm-hmm. Like, we got it. So it was the smoke wasn't dodged. The Yankees, but we went through. I like to go through. So there's not like, you were lucky we wasn't there. No. You were there, sir. Right? And guess what we did to you? We let it be known. And look, you know what makes it even better, Alex? There were an odds-on favorite to win at the beginning of the season, right? Now we're at the end of the year where the Bears almost beat you in Green Bay outside of throwing a touchdown, then came back and beat your ass in Chicago. Do you know how bad it would be for Packers fans to go up? They don't want to face them all. You think the Packers want to face the Bears in the playoffs?
Because I don't know. It took a miracle to get the win last. It took a miracle to get the win last week.
Listen, okay. I got another question for you. But yeah. One, they almost won the game before. That wasn't a miracle. Your quarterback threw a bad pass that was intercepted, right?
Yep.
It's not as much of a miracle because all they've been doing this year is miracle work. Like, I'm sorry to say, your quarterback is special when it comes to that. That's part of his innate ability, all right? So again, no, dude, I'm not dodging the pack. I want to face the Packers. I don't want to.
Prefer the Bears get the two seed so that they have to play the Packers in the wild card round?
I don't know. No, I want them to get the first number one seed. It's not, you must go through them, but I'm not dodging them. Like if I'm a boxer and there's a champion or a former champ, I want to go and face him so there's no questions about the legitimacy of my legacy. Like,
you're taking the belt out of his hands.
Yeah, dude. Linear. I mean, like, I want that smoke because one thing about life, you want there to be no question. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I took that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could talk your talk, but you remember I was holding the belt at the end and you were laying on your back. You know what I'm saying? And that's what. No,
nobody cares though. In the history books, nobody says, "Oh well, you know, they avoided the two seed and they got an easy." Nobody cares. They won the Super Bowl. No.
Well, sometimes, and that's the problem. That's one reason why we're here for context, to contextualize things, because people don't know the full story, and we're supposed to provide those tidbits to color in the picture. You know what I'm saying? But you're right, because I was having a conversation with Jay Hood this week on his podcast, Under the Hood. He always talks about our show. And one of the things we were talking about is people who say, like, oh, man, I don't care if the Bears win as long as they beat Green Bay both games. And I'm like, nah, I don't live by that, right? So, like, hypothetically, let's say the Bears lost to Green Bay both times this year and won the Super Bowl. I'm fine with that. My Super Bowl would not be bittersweet. I wouldn't be like, man, but they lost to Green Bay. I'd be like, man, next year I hope we kick their ass, but we got the rings right now. So I'm saying that, right? But I'm saying, though, if you're talking about, hey, one, it'll be different. I guess this is the thing, too. It would be different if I thought the Bears couldn't win. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if I was like, I think the Pack have the Bears' number. I think, in all fairness, with the Bears having another game and them not having Micah Parsons, I think it's because they can't now sideline to sidelines. They can't stop Caleb from running like that. That difference from having Micah Parsons out there allows the Bears to get easier first downs and move the chains with their quarterback, because Micah Parsons could overrun the angle, it seemed like, when they played in Green Bay. All right. Mm-hmm. So for that, I don't have that fear. Who knows? Christian Watson may be in, and Christian Watson's waiting to get hurt at any moment.
You're gonna be ready for Malik Willis. You're gonna be ready for Malik Willis. You're not gonna be taken by surprise by that.
You're right. Your game also. You have to listen. It would be malfeasance if you're not ready for Malik Willis after that last game, right? Like, there has to be a Malik Willis package in the practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, there has to be, because totally it threw the whole game off, because you know Jordan Love doesn't run like that. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I wouldn't, again, just to put a button on that for me, I don't need them to beat Green Bay if they go all the way, but I'd love them to beat Green Bay if they went all the way. And now if someone else knocks Green Bay out, I don't care. They got not. Then see, they can't talk stuff. They'd be like, well, you didn't face us. Yeah, because you got your ass beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not on me that you lost, but if you are standing in my way, I'd rather run through your face.
I feel that. I feel that. Maybe a little NFC North. I don't know if they'd be able to meet up in the NFC Championship game. Okay. I'm not sure if that would, I think they would have to meet earlier than that. I'm not positive, but that was also pretty crazy, right? The last time these guys met up in the playoffs, NFC Championship.
No, don't. Let's not do that.
Let's not go there. Caleb Haney almost bringing it back. We won't go there.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Let's bring it back to the Niners real quick, because first things first.
I got a question at the end of the show. For you. Okay. Please continue.
I feel like we should talk a little bit about Brock Purdy as well, because Brock Purdy might be one of the most disrespected quarterbacks in the NFL. And he missed some time. Mac Jones came in. Mac Jones was a result. But for folks who have not followed the San Francisco 49ers, Brock Purdy is extremely back, had a bit of a down game against the Browns when he only completed 55% of his throws, but in the four other games out of the last five games, he has completed over 70% of his passes. 2 weeks ago against the Titans, 76% of his passes, and coming off a game against the Colts where he threw for 295 yards, five touchdowns, and one interception. Now here's the good news for the Bears. He will throw interceptions. This isn't like Jordan Love. This isn't like Jalen Hurts, where the guy does not turn the ball over. He'll put the ball in harm's way. So that's what could help the Bears. But he has been a machine. He has been a machine completing passes. And he's put up numbers. He's put up touchdowns. So it could be a little... bend, don't break again, where they might be giving up a ton of yards, but there will be opportunities for the Bears to get takeaways. So unsurprisingly, that should be the key against Brock Purdy. Pick him off, because if they don't, he might pick them apart.
He definitely could. He definitely has the ability to. I'm not afraid of Brock Purdy, but I'd be lying on him. I'm not. I would really hate to pay Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's the type of quarterback where it's just like, I understand why he's on our team, but blah. Like
77 completion rate and five touchdowns doesn't do it for you.
There was nothing. I'm gonna go different sport. And people are gonna be like, yeah, man, but it didn't work out. It was nothing worse than watching Elton Brand as a Bull. It was like, yes, he was a double-double machine, but it was so boring. Like, when you come off of seeing Michael and Scotty and Dennis, right? And I remember, like, when Derek took off, and I was like, you know, it is so different watching a superstar. It was like, oh, my God, I forgot what watching a superstar is like, right? And that's how I feel like having Caleb, and if I had to deal with having Brock Purdy, I'd just be like, yeah.
another 8-yard reception.
Right? Like, again, listen, Brock Purdy, they could have won a Super Bowl if his arm didn't go in that way that it shouldn't have went versus the Eagles or whatever when he was throwing it and the guy came and hit his arm. They could have won that year because that was like another year where Kansas City didn't even play good to the last end of the game or whatever. But, yeah, I'm with you. It'll be interesting because, again, this is an accurate quarterback. The synergy between this quarterback and his head coach offensive coordinator is ridiculous. You also have on the flip side, Brandon Staley has been dealing. The defense, they have one of the best run defenses, and I know I'll get back to Brock Purdy. One of the best run defenses in the league, and that's something because you're talking about what the Bears, their forte has been the run game. But we'll see. I mean, I know right now looking at ESPN, they have they're overwhelmingly in the favor of the 49ers. I think it's 3.5. is the line right now there. But, like, we've seen the Bears pull stuff off this year. It wouldn't be surprising. The only thing, and again, this is hope springs eternal. Man, if the Bears had a damn pass rush this year, like, oh, my goodness. It would – the shit that would be flying out of our mouths if we knew, like –
get home with four?
Dog, if they could get home with four.
So much.
We would listen, everybody, make sure you come back for next year, particularly before the season starts, because Alex and I are going to be reckless. And look, we try to be balanced, but there's no reason to be balanced when your team is playing
off
like
season.
This.
Also, good vibes off season.
How long has it been now?
Real reckless.
How long has it been? Never.
It's been a while since we had a good vibes off season.
Not for us. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, definitely brought the thing is now you said that. The 49ers injury report hasn't come out, or the practice report hasn't come out yet.
Correct. This was what a roundabout way of us starting by looking at Roma Dunze out foot, Nick McLeod out illness. This illness has just run through the Bears, but Nick McLeod, the only guy out. A few guys questionable with this illness. The Niners Friday report has not come out yet, but one guy we're looking at, George Kittle.
That's where I was going.
Two DNPs with an ankle, and George Kittle is obvious. Extremely important man to this football team.
And I think there, if you're taking away, if Kittle doesn't play, now I'm even more feeling good for what the Bears may be able to pull off defensively. But it's gonna be difficult. Like, in all fairness, Kyle Shanahan is one of the reasons that I wanted Ben Johnson to be the Bears head coach, because Kyle Shanahan makes running the football sexy. And I think at nauseam, you've heard me say most quote unquote offensive geniuses think they have to reveal or demonstrate is a better way for me to say that, demonstrate their offensive IQ through the air, where football is won in the trenches and souls are snatched. Even though you can snatch souls with some bombs over the top, but you take a man's will away by dominating him with the run, all right?
Just moving the line of scrimmage 2 yards at a time.
Yeah, I can't do nothing. You, man, if you ever been out there, man, I can't do nothing. and that was one of the things where the calling card for this 49ers, ever since Jim Harbaugh came to the league and was there, has been their physicality. Like, and Kyle Shanahan has kept that going, becoming the head coach for the first time after leaving Atlanta as the offensive coordinator. So again, you're looking at guys who are similar. These are very crafty. These are two of the very crafty offensive coaches. And I'll put Ben Johnson below Kyle Shanahan because Kyle Shanahan has made it to the Super Bowl. He's not a rookie. I want Ben Johnson to be better than Kyle Shanahan because I want him to have won Super Bowls. But he's still the Padawan compared to the Jedi Master when it comes to head coaching in this scenario. So it'll be interesting. But I'll say this too. I'm sure Ben Johnson has studied a lot of Kyle Shanahan. I'm sure, like, he's been one of the guys that you've heard him recently talking about, you know, taking a lot of systems and being a mutt or whatever. I'm sure this is one of the guys that you're like, I want to take some of this and a little bit of that.
Everybody who does any kind of zone run scheme, which is everybody in the NFL, is studying what Kyle Shanahan is doing, building off of what his dad did. Mike Shanahan, and we'll throw Gibbs in there as well. Very important. Yeah, but those were the guys who really just got this zone run scheme cracking, where it was like plug and play running backs, you know,
which was crazy. Even though, no, I take Terrell Davis out of that, but he did after that. He just had guys on the street running for a G. Right? Yeah, exactly. It was like, hey, who's out there? Come here.
This was the beginning of the devaluation of the running back. Yes, because the idea was like, the blocking scheme is so good. Just go get another rookie.
Great point.
And Kyle Shanahan has obviously taken it to, you know, like what he did with like Deebo Samuel, for example, you know, and now what he's doing with Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, everybody is studying what the Shanahans are cooking up. Yeah. So it's going to be a hell of a test. It's going to be a hell of a game. And if the Bears win this game, then Kenneth and I are going to talk awfully reckless, because now you've beaten the Packers, playoff team. You've decimated the Philadelphia Eagles, playoff team, defending BTA. Champion.
BTA for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes. 49ers, another playoff team. Now it's not like, okay, oh, the Bears beat up on the Raiders, the Bears beat up on the Saints. No. Then it's like,
right,
the Bears got wins. You're talking about wins. They've beaten three out of, then they will have beaten three out of the six possible playoff opponents. That's half. So
I love you. I love you for this. I haven't even thought about the damn Raiders. But remember how one, it was okay, the Raiders are bad and the Bears played them, but then it was like they even got their ass smoked even worse after the Bears played them. And it was like the Bears haven't beaten anybody, and the Bears have been kicking ass all across streets in the NFL. And look at where they are now. You know what, man? I'm going to just say it's going to be more belt to ass for the 49ers. All right. Belt to ass right now.
Vegas got it wrong.
Yeah. I don't think any team wants this Windy City smoke. All right. I think, like, I mean, and I'm not even just saying that because I have an affinity for the Bears. I'm saying that a team that can turn the ball over and can win in any facet, but can pull a game out, like, you don't really, because you're like, damn, I don't want to play them. Like, that's usually, like, how many times have we looked at teams in any sport and the team that's hot that year, you're like, yeah, man, I don't want to face them this year, because it's the story of destiny. You know what I'm saying? The underdog.
Years, like Panthers, like, you just don't want to play the Panthers. They're a wagon. Like, just.
You don't listen.
You don't got a shot.
It wouldn't surprise me for the Panthers to pull in something off against Seattle, because that's what the Panthers have been doing, which is crazy.
The Florida Panthers in hockey, but also the Carolina Panthers right now. I'm sorry. I said, in case you didn't hear me, because we were kind of talking at the same time, I was talking the Florida Panthers in hockey last couple of seasons.
Pucks.
Similar to that. Pucks. The Dodgers in baseball, simply too good. You don't want to play them.
Yeah, that's paid for, though. And hey, I'm not dissing. I'll listen.
You get what you pay for.
That part, I'm not jealous. But yeah, I'm going to go with Bears. I'm going to go with Bears 31, 49ers like 28.
Oh, okay. So that's a close game.
I don't think it's going to be. Well, I still think they're going to have to do something to get to that point, but there's going to be plays where Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey are just going to score. I mean, because they're that good. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're that good. It would be great to be wrong and they dominate them, but I think that'll happen. But I'm going to have to see the Bears lose before I pick the Bears losing again. I'm going to be honest with you. The Bears are going to have to lose before I'm like, yeah, because I don't think there's a team that I'm like, I've seen the Bears do whatever the hell they need to basically this season. Like, they have. So why am I going to rain on my own parade, right?
Don't rain. Let the sun shine.
I'm not going to rain on my own parade. But what do you have, Alex, as far as the final score for this Sunday night game, everybody? So NBC, Sunday night, football night in America. Make sure you tune in, the Bears and the 49ers. What do you got?
I'm going to ride with you and your vibes. I'm going to have it a little lower scoring. Same margin. Bears 27, Niners 24.
I was thinking about Bears, something like that. I was thinking
Bears. Let's just have fun.
Let's why
it's
not?
The day after Christmas. I'm feeling the spirit inside me.
Now I got a question for you that's going to throw you off.
Yes, sir. Lay it on me.
Everybody, I want you to answer this question in the chat. Better Bears team, the 2025 Bears team or the 2018 Bears team?
Oh, 2025 without a question. The 2018 defense was ludicrous. The 2018 defense was...
pressure and turnovers.
Nutso. Yeah. Nutso what that team was doing. But the offense, like, it never felt like, they got it with Trubisky. Right. Allen Robinson had a really good year.
Mm-hmm.
Tariq Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Unpopular opinion. Unpopular opinion, Chicago. I was never a big Tariq Cohen believer. I thought he was like a gadget guy. He was so explosive and he was so fun. I get the human joystick of it all, but it never felt to me like, oh yeah, Tariq Cohen is like, he's a running back that I can give the ball to 18 times. You know, I have no concerns about Kyle Manunga and DeAndre Swift in that same regard.
Yeah.
So I think the offense is just, even though the offense still is not humming, I feel better about DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manunga than I did about Tariq Cohen. And it wasn't Jordan Howard. Was it David Montgomery in 2018 also? Who was the other? No. Who was the other running back?
It wasn't Montgomery.
2018 Bears roster. Was it Jordan Howard?
Yeah, I think it was Jordan Howard. I think you're right. I think it was Jordan Howard.
I'm doubting myself.
I think it was Jordan Howard.
But I mean, number one, it was Jordan Howard.
Yeah, because then they didn't run the ball. He went away from the – he didn't marry the damn pass to the run game. I'm talking about Matt Nagy.
No. And Jordan Howard nearly had 1,000 yards. He had 935 yards that year, nine touchdowns, and it like still felt like he was underused.
I don't have anything to add for the most part because took really all of my brain what I was going to say as far as
– Caleb. It's Caleb. Come on. Caleb
Williams. And Ben Johnson.
Yeah. Matt Nagy had the cute plays. He had Santa's sleigh. He had Willy Wonka. He had all the cute plays. He had the design. But you said it, Kenneth. You're absolutely right. It never felt like the run game and the pass game were married. It never felt like they were building on what they were doing. It never felt like this is the identity of this football team. It never felt like Matt Nagy, he struggled to get in a rhythm, you know? Ben Johnson is building something with that run game, is building something with the play action on top of that, the play action rollouts on top of that. And he also has the cute plays. You know, he has the plays that are fun and great and wonderful and score touchdowns and all that. But Ben Johnson also stays dedicated to the run. Ben Johnson gets in these play calling rhythms where it's like, I see what you are doing here. I trust what you are doing here. So even though the defense isn't crazy lights out, whatever, defense is still getting takeaways. The defense is still, when they need a stop, they find a way to get the stop. So yeah, even though I think the 2018 defense was the most dominant unit, if we're calling the four units, 2018-0, 2018-D, 2025-0, 2025-D, the 2018-D is the most dominant unit out of all four. But I think the mix that they got, and the je ne sais quoi that they got, and the Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson of it all that they got, give me the 2025 Bears.
Better weapons this run on offense. Better offensive line, too, because that wasn't full power Kyle Long. That was almost at the tail end. Kyle Long played barely played. He only played 8 games that season. So just for that offensive line, you had the hated Charles Leno, which – man, if we could have had him when you got rid of him again.
Yeah.
Right. I understand why we didn't like him, but we didn't appreciate the fact that he was all right. You had Cody Whitehair.
He played football games. He started football games.
That part where he played football games. You had a rookie in James Daniels. You had Cody Whitehair. You had Kyle Long, but he was beat up. And you had Bobby Massey, who had never really came to fruition here compared to this line and what you have. So you have a better offensive line this year. Just wanted to put that out there, everybody. Let us know in the chat, 2018 to 2025. Let the recency bias play out. It's fine. The vibes are high. Alex, anything else you want to say before we get up out of here?
Should we do extra point real quick?
Yeah, go right ahead. What are your extra point?
My extra point, since it is the day after Christmas, is the movie White Christmas, starring Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney and two other, Danny Kaye, I think is his name, and Vera Not Wang, some other Vera whose name I forget. It's a very fun movie. It's one of our traditions. We watch it on Christmas every year. And the music is great. The numbers are great. Everything is great. But it just dawned on me this year watching it at the last scene when they start singing White Christmas, where it's like, oh, yeah, this is a Christmas movie. So my extra point is White Christmas is the best Christmas movie that forgot it was a Christmas movie until the very end. Where if you know this film,
that category, like, I don't know. Go ahead.
The best Christmas movie that forgot it was a Christmas movie until the very end, where it's like, oh yeah, we got to sing White Christmas here. Because like they have so many opportunities to write in lines like, hey, we should go to Vermont. I'm narrow casting right now. So apologies, side note, I'm apologizing for narrow casting right now. But it's like, hey, we got to go to Vermont. And they could have just said to enjoy a nice Christmas holiday. They leave it out there. Hey, we should put on this show. For a nice Christmas show. They like barely talk about Christmas at all until the very end. They're like, oh yeah, it's Christmas. Let's sing White Christmas. Wonderful film. But it just dawned on me. I was like, wait, is Die Hard more of a Christmas movie? Is Batman Returns more of a Christmas movie?
Oh, get Batman Returns.
Batman is a Christmas movie.
Okay. I don't believe the Die Hard is a bridge too far, but for the category that you just said, a Christmas movie that you doesn't really is not a Christmas movie to the end, that's Die Hard, where it was like, damn, this was on Christmas at the end when all this happened. That's Die Hard, right? That's the top tier. Like, to me, this is the problem. Just because it happens around Christmas time doesn't make it a Christmas movie. If it doesn't have the Christmas spirit, go ahead. What are you about to say?
Bruce Willis does leave a sign that says, ho, 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 I have a machine.
I'm talking about Batman. When you said this,
Batman's super Christmassy. What was
super Christmassy about?
It's the whole thing. It's like they light up the tree, they're throwing out the presents.
That makes it
very Christmassy. Very Christmassy.
Christmas is just
Batman Returns more Christmassy than White Christmas.
Okay. Since you went there, and I'll end it on with this. I watched Home Alone. Didn't age well. But also remember, I was a kid, so watching it, like, and it was just, and also, you know, it kind of made me just feel like, knowing like the life of Macaulay Culkin and like when he went through his ups and downs, it just felt like, man, I don't know, sometimes I know, like with our oldest, and people was like, you know, we should put him in acting, and it was always kind of like, yeah, but we don't know how, like he's just so young, who knows where that could be, and we won't be able to be parents. And yeah, I'd rather be able to have a young person with their wits about them.
Childhood.
Yeah. And thank you. A real childhood, because it just made me like watching it. And it just like, you look at like how young, like he's so young in that movie.
He's a kid.
Yeah. Like he's a little ass kid. And again, it's not the movie, but what happened with his life after that, after, you know, his film success kind of went away, and just, I think Macaulay Culkin's doing fine now, but it took a while for him to kind of, I believe, get back on track. But again, it didn't resonate with me watching it. But you know, and in the comments, please tell us how you feel, and if you got something bad to say, hey, bash my choices. It's fine. Thanks, man. We appreciate you taking some time out to just watch us sit here on the Windy City. Again,
shout out Joe Pesci. Great Joe Pesci role. Shout out the guy opposite Joe Pesci, the other wet bandit, right? Aren't they the wet bandits or something?
Yeah, the wet bandit. He kept turning on the water. He's like, you did it again, didn't you? Yeah. We're the wet bandits. That's our MO.
The other guy, what a great slapstick comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like, I'm a Three Stooges guy. I was raised on the Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that dude is like one of the best slapstick vaudeville comedians I've seen like since the Stooges. So shout out Joe Pesci, and shout out that other guy. I'm so sorry, I don't know his name. What has he done outside of Home Alone?
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern. Hilarious. Hilarious. Daniel Stern,
real quick, just to answer your last question. Yeah, Daniel Stern's been in so many things. He was in, of course, the Rookie of the Year, Bushwhack, City Slickers, Breaking Away. Oh my God, he was in one of my favorite childhood movies of all time. He was in Little Monsters.
Wow.
He was in Blue Thunder. I know, I used to love that movie. He was in Diner, Chud, A Christmas Story 2. Like you said, a guy that's been in a ton, very bad things. Celtic Pride, remember that one? Nope. Real quick, Tracy. You don't remember Celtic Pride?
Never.
He was in Leviathan.
Never even heard of it.
He was in
City Slickers. I've seen once. City Slickers is
My Blue Heaven. Right? He was in My Blue Heaven. What else? Just Tourist Trapped. I think that's
you're in deep.
Over. Well, I mean, because there's some people are older than us. There are people that are older than us, and you want to give them their props because they're naming stuff off. And you know, just because it happened before our time doesn't mean that it counts. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure we do that. But anyway, we appreciate you. Go ahead, Alex. You about to say something?
I just had a very stupid question that doesn't require a great answer. Home Alone 1 or Home Alone 2?
Ooh. You know, I want to say Home Alone 2, but great. But you know what? Really, what I didn't like about Home Alone 2, and watching this made me kind of triggered me with it. I didn't like the fact that Joe Pesci wanted to kill him in 2.
Yeah, that's messed up. Good call.
That's when it got like, we was like, hold on, slow time out. Like, dude, like, what in the world? Like, that's where it was like, at one point, if me personally, I'm like, man, let's stay the hell away from this damn kid. This is, I know this goes left. This, let's get it. Not, I'm going to amp it up and go after. But when he was got a kid, like, that's where I was just like, yo, hold up. I mean, but I guess it was realistic.
He's a bad man. Joe Pesci's a bad man in that film.
Bad man. He went casino on him. But anyway, good question, though. Good question. We will be back Sunday night. I believe, because unless we're going to record later on Monday, Alex, I guess we'll figure that out. But we will definitely do a Bears post talking about the Bears going out to Santa Clara to face the San Francisco 49ers. Again, late game for anybody that doesn't know on Sunday. So enjoy your early Sunday if you don't feel like watching football and you want to get out and do something this holiday weekend. We'll be here. And as I said a second ago, anytime you take time to watch us, we appreciate it because you don't have to do that. And we will see you this coming weekend. Everybody, please, 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 particularly with people out there drinking, be careful as you go about during this holiday season. Later.
Hey, hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.